Luke 11.
Be in Luke 11 tonight, but then we'll also be in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6. Luke 11. And then Matthew chapter 6. And tonight we're going to be looking at our model for prayer. Our model for prayer. And we'll look at Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. And then we're going to jump right over to Matthew chapter 6. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Lord, as we come before you, thank you for this time in your house. Thank you, Lord, once again for your people that have come out tonight. Ask you to be with those unable to be here tonight, would be if they could, but just ask you, Lord, just to be with them, strengthen them, encourage them. Ask you to give me the words you'd have me to say. In Jesus' name, amen. So Matthew 6, we jump over there, and we'll read in verse 1 and go down through verse 13. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which is in secret himself, shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You know, there's so many ideas about what prayer is and how to pray. And we're going to look at these tonight. And first off, this is the model prayer. This is not the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is in John 17. But this is simply where a disciple said to Jesus in Luke 11, Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus makes mention of multiple things to include in your daily prayers. Now, this is not a ritualistic prayer. You don't just run down this prayer here, this model prayer, to start the morning and then say, okay, I prayed today. That is not what this is. Matthew 6 and verse 9 through 13, and then some here in Luke 11, but we see beginning with verse 9 in Matthew 6, Our Father which art in heaven. So we can't just say that's our prayer for the day. But tonight we're going to be in Luke 11. And it says in Luke 11, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So it says one of the disciples. It doesn't say who. However, when you think about what prayer is, and prayer is communicating with God, that is prayer in a nutshell. So whoever this disciple was knew that communication is important to any relationship and knew that his relationship with the Lord would greatly depend on his communication with the Lord. And who better to teach on prayer than Christ, but also the Apostle John? I believe that the disciple that was the closest to the Lord was John. You may disagree, I don't know, but when I look at the crucifix through the lens of the scriptures and John went to the cross with him, I'd say that was the one that was closest to Christ, because he went with Christ all the way up until the death of Christ on the cross. So I believe John was the closest to the Lord out of all of the disciples. And John knew how to communicate with God. And there was a disciple here that was wanting to know how to pray. Now, when you see others who are walking with God and you want what they have, you will inquire if you want it enough. And I encourage you tonight, first off, to always maintain a teachable spirit. That's what we see here in verse 1. Now, I ask you tonight, when's the last time that you ask to be taught? You found an authority on a matter and you said, teach me in that area. Now, I'm talking about spiritual matters. Sometimes it's easy to admit to someone at work or anywhere else our ignorance in an area that we're not strong in and ask to be taught, but it's nowhere near as easy amongst the brethren. Maybe you recognize someone as a giver in the church and you ask them, teach me how to give. Maybe you recognize someone as a servant in the church and you ask them to teach you how to serve. Or maybe you recognize somebody who characterizes love in the church or forgiveness in the church and you approach them and ask them, how do you love people the way you do? How do you forgive people the way you do? How do you let go of stuff and just move on like you do? Teach me to do those things. Maybe you recognize someone as a soul winner in the church and you said, teach me to be a soul winner. Or teach me to have more faith. Teach me to be less fearful. Teach me to be less emotional. Teach me to guard my tongue. The disciples recognized Christ as being the supreme authority on prayer. Now, how did they come to this recognition? By hearing him pray. And they didn't want to waste the opportunity to be taught in an area that they knew they were lacking, so they asked to be taught. And Jesus responds with what would be a balanced prayer. When you read the model prayer, it's a balanced prayer. It's not given to extremes. Sometimes we tend to lean into extremes when it comes to our prayer life, but the Lord reveals a balanced prayer. See, if it was praising the Lord only, and that's all it was the whole time, was praising the Lord, then there's no asking or receiving. There's no repentance. There's no prayer for forgiveness. There's no prayer to flee temptation. If it was asking and receiving only, then there'd be no praise to the Lord for who he is. There'd be no prayer of forgiveness. There'd be no prayer to flee temptation. There'd be no prayer for relationship. You're just asking for stuff so that you can receive stuff. If it was prayer for forgiveness only, then there'd be no praise. There'd be no asking or receiving for life's many needs. There'd be no prayer to flee temptation. If the prayer was to flee temptation only, then there'd be no praise. There'd be no asking or receiving. There'd be no forgiveness of sins committed. So Jesus gives a balanced response on how to pray. But to head it all off, Jesus mentions who the prayer is directed to. It's directed to our Heavenly Father. And praise God that we have a Heavenly Father. And what is our Heavenly Father chiefly known for? His great love. We see in verse 2, and he said unto them, when you pray, say, our Heavenly Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. So we think about that in Luke 11 and verse 2. So we think about this. This is daily. When you come before the Lord, I encourage you to praise him. And one of the things that should come to our mind often is his great love for us. If we're simply reminded of God's love for us, that's going to ease a lot of our pains. It's going to ease a lot of our questions. It's going to calm a lot of our doubts because it doesn't always make sense to us what the Lord is doing. And I think about the hymn, Jesus Loves Me. Oftentimes it's referred to as a children's hymn, but I love the hymn myself. My favorite verse of the hymn is, Jesus loves me. He will stay close beside me all the way. Thou hast bled and died for me. I will henceforth live for thee. Notice also tonight, number three, make the glory of God your priority. We see in verse 2, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed means consecrated to a sacred use or to religious exercises, treated as sacred, reverenced. So the name of God is to be sacred. It's not something that we blurt out in an exclamatory fashion. When something doesn't go our way, when there's something that we don't like or we hit our thumb, it's blasphemous to say OMG or oh my Lord, or to state the name of Jesus Christ in an irreverent way. You know, just the other night, I was seeing what all was in a movie that I was thinking about watching, and we have this app. It's called VidAngel, and it removes all kinds of stuff out of the film. And one of the things I saw is one of the filters on it said blasphemy. So I'm thinking, okay, that's interesting. Now I wonder what the world would call blasphemy. I wonder what it was like. And here's what it said. I read what it was. Multiple word forms of the Lord's name used in vain. Now, if Hollywood knows that blasphemy is taking the Lord's name in vain, how much more should the church know about what taking the Lord's name in vain is? Now, isn't it also interesting that we don't walk around all day and say, oh, my Chad. Oh, my Chad. Something went wrong. Something went bad. Oh, my Chad. Oh, my Kathleen. She's laughing. Brother Jonathan. Oh, my Jonathan. We don't say that stuff. But why is it that the first name that comes to our mind to blaspheme is God's? And it's not only out in the world, but it's out in the church. And you know what happens at times? If we don't esteem God's name and it's just a name that just gets thrown around irreverently, the world's going to do it that much the more. The name of God should be hallowed. It should be consecrated. So when we're talking about him, when we're talking about his goodness with others, when we're trying to win a lost soul, when we're trying to bring honor and glory to his name, it should be set aside also for prayer, not to just be used in any kind of way. Now also, make the will of God your purpose. In verse 2, also coming in at verse 2, the model prayer, we see this phrase, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Then down in verse 3, we see this, give us day by day our daily bread. I think I might have quoted some of Matthew 6. In the model prayer, we don't see Jesus praying for a specific amount of bread. Lord, I need 5 loaves of bread today. We don't see that. We see a prayer for the Lord's will in general terms, in essence. It's, Lord, you know that we need to eat. Give us this day our daily bread. There have been many times in my life that I have prayed more specifically than necessary. And I'll tell you some dangers to that. One, in essence, you give God a list to work down. When your list gets answered, that's, I promise you, it's because it aligned with his will, not because you asked for it. Now, I know we got the verse in the Bible, and it's 100% true. Ask and you shall receive. That's true. It's 100% true. But the greater context is the Lord's will and what's in the Lord's will. You ever ask for something and it didn't happen? Why did it not happen? You asked for it and you did not receive it. So what happened? It wasn't in the Lord's will to answer it in the way that we wanted it answered. So we did not receive it. Now, God cannot and will not answer one of our prayers in a fashion that goes against His will. You can line. Now this is important because as a teenager, I was weak in the faith and I didn't understand God and I didn't understand prayer. And because I asked God to bring my dad back after his suicide and God didn't bring my dad back because I was ignorant to the fact that God don't work that way, I got mad at God because He wouldn't do what I asked Him to do. Some of the things we ask God to do, if we knew Him better, we'd know He don't work that way. So when He don't come through the way we want Him to come through, we can't be upset with Him because we ask Him to do something outside of what He would do. We know God could do anything. He could do whatever He wants. There's going to be times He chooses not to. You can line upon line, you can add up everything as far as the eye can see, spending all the time that it takes to do that. You can present Him your plans as though He's limited to those, but it won't amount to a hill of beans, and you wasted a lot of time in preparation doing what He did not ask you to do to begin with. Because He already knew what His will for you was. It's been said God gives out more no's or not yet's than He does immediate yeses. Now, if He gave us everything we wanted right away, oh, that'd be awful for us if we were honest. If everything we ever asked, it just went our way, we'd be spoiled brats. We would. We'd be spoiled brats. It'd be like if you did that for a kid, gave a kid everything he ever wanted, he or she ever wanted, just did it. Yes, 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 yes. They'd grow up expecting the world to be yes, 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 yes. Their boss, yes, 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 yes. Everybody else, yes, 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 yes. And then they'll realize that once they get out into the real world, there's a lot of no's. Trying to teach my kids know what it means early. Because your whole life ain't going to be filled with yeses. And that's just the real world. And that's life. But if all God did was pass down a whole bunch of yeses in our life, it ruins us. We get a lot of no's because it's outside of His will. Not because he's trying to keep us where we are, or because He's trying to hold us back, or He don't want to do something good for us. And then not yet. So why is that? Isaiah 55:8-9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So I encourage you tonight, make God's will your ultimate answer to your prayer. God's will. If you pray according to God's will, and this blows people's minds sometimes, all your prayers get answered. It's been said many a times, and I preached a message on it, how to get an answer to every prayer. How to get an answer to every prayer. And that's praying the Lord's will. Essentially, we tell the Lord, here's the issue. And I'm giving it to you. And that's about as specific as you go. My only desire is your will. That's my only desire. And you know God cannot go against His will. So whether or not it's a no, or whether or not it's a not right now, it's His will. If it's a yes, then it was His will. And whatever, however God handles it, was according to His will and an answer to your prayer. And early on, I learned this because I'd pray specifically and God would answer another way. And I was like a child that didn't get what I wanted. When if I didn't want anything but His will, there'd have been no disappointment. If I didn't tell God how to be God in my situation, I'd have never been disappointed when He didn't listen to me. Prayer is not me telling God what He should do. Prayer is not me telling God how He could better be God. Now, again, if you need bread, ask God for bread. But if you already have it in your mind, only five of them will make you happy. God may just disappoint you to teach you something. Ask God for things, but ask Him according to His will. And if His will is truly your highest goal, you'll never be disappointed in how God answers. It was George Mueller, a prayer warrior in every sense of the word. Sometimes we throw that word around today, prayer warriors. But George Mueller was one. He'd call upon God saying, Lord, we need food. These children need food. And day by day, time by time, God gave just the amount they needed to get by. And you think about how God orchestrated those things. Milk truck breaks down. Well, some people, well, that's coincidence. It broke down right by the people that needed it and it was about to go bad. No. God planned that all along because there was a little orphanage that needed it. And he said, that truck's going to break down and it's going to break down right there and there's no way he's going to be able to deliver all that milk and it's just going to go bad. So he's going to go knock on that door and ask them if they need it. That's God looking out for them. God gave just the amount needed to get by. I encourage you, ask God for what you need. Even be specific with what you need. But leave all the details to God and how he answers it. Also, make the glory of God your priority. So depend on God also to provide your needs. We see in verse 3 and 4, give us day by day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's Luke 11. See, God works in different ways. As you ask for your daily sustenance, God may just provide bread, or he may just provide you with the means to buy bread. There have been times in my life I cried out to the Lord. I said, here's what I need. And by the way, he knows that already. And he's already promised to answer that prayer before we even ask. If your pantry was empty and you faced tomorrow and you got no food, that's a prayer the Lord's already promised to answer. When I cried out to God, I said, here's what I need. I know you know already, but I'm trusting you to deliver. Now, just as an example, if you're praying for bread and bread costs $2.50 and God leads one of his own to give you $5, then the Lord still answered your prayer because though he didn't directly give you the bread, he gave you the means to go get it. See, sometimes the Lord answers our prayers in ways that to us is outside the box. But it's still an answer. It was just outside of what we asked for. Number six, daily we are to pray for forgiveness. See in verse 4, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now this is important. And this is a side note, but the Bible talks about if we won't forgive others, Heavenly Father won't forgive us. It's in a whole nother passage, a whole nother lesson. So if we got somebody that we won't forgive, we can save our prayers for the forgiveness of the Lord for us. We can just save it because it's not coming. It's just words. That forgiveness is not coming. But we see this. Again, in verse 4, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. The word forgive, it's a great word. It's a hard one, though. To pardon, to remit as an offense or debt, to overlook an offense, and to treat the offender as not guilty. So you're treating them like they didn't do it. You're treating them like they never did it to begin with. That's forgiveness. You're overlooking an offense. Now, if we didn't have anything, now this is in our daily prayer. If we didn't have anything to ask forgiveness over on the daily, Jesus would not have included in this model prayer the forgiveness of our sins on the daily. The model prayer. You sin every day. Every day. We all sin every single day. Every one of us. Every day. And we must confess those sins to the Lord and seek forgiveness for those sins. And strive to live out the next day in a way that would glorify God. And if we don't think today that we don't have sin to daily confess, then we're not seeing ourselves clearly. We think ourselves to be better than we are. We also tell the Lord that the model prayer is for everyone else, but not us. It is for the disciple that asks, but not for us. It's been said, keeping short accounts with God. You know, once you've been born again, the sins that you commit, you'll never burn in hell for those sins. Those sins are under the blood of Jesus Christ. But if there was one sin left uncovered, we'd burn in hell for it. But sin will have consequences. You will still answer for your sin. You will still answer for your life. You'll still face many consequences for your sin here on this earth. You will still live distant from the Lord as a result if you don't seek forgiveness and cleansing from the Lord on the daily. And all it takes is to go without seeking forgiveness one day for you to have a day of unconfessed sin being harbored in your heart. One day, that's it. But how many times have we gone more than that without confession? We got to confess our sins. It's daily in this model prayer. And lastly, guidance and protection. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You see, when temptation comes, though temptation itself is not a sin, I guarantee you if some of us were to, and maybe even probably me too, if we were to reveal some of our temptations over the last week, we would probably have some people judge us pretty harshly. But it was a temptation. You didn't do it. You didn't do it. It was a temptation. Though temptation itself is not a sin, temptation can lead to sin. So temptation in and of itself is dangerous. Temptation means the act of tempting, enticement to evil, by arguments, by flattery, or by the offer of some real or apparent good. In Luke 4 and verse 13, when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. If you think the devil doesn't communicate to you, you're sadly mistaken. The devil will entice you with arguments, with flattery, by offering some apparent good. It's what I hate about commercials. They take sin and they glorify it. Make alcohol look like a good time. Make the party life just look like a good time. A lot of this stuff in the movies makes it look like living a life of sin is a good time. That's temptation. Sometimes we set temptation right before we open ourselves up for temptation. We might not be tempted yet, but now we are because of where we went, because of what we saw, because of who we were around. It seems to be good. But when you're battling things in your heart and mind, you have the law of God on one hand and contrary opinions on the other, enticements, temptations to do the opposite of what you know to be true, that's our flesh and that's the devil all intertwined. And the idea here in this passage when we see, and lead us not into temptation. Now temptation, that's the step before. That's the step before doing it. That's the step before finding yourself in it. They're asking, Lord, don't even lead me into temptation. Keep temptation itself away from me. Because we know if we're tempted, chances are we're that much closer to compromise. So the prayer here is to shield us from temptation. Now, if we're going to pray and we're going to ask the Lord to shield us from temptation, we might ought to not be putting ourselves in the way of temptation. There's a whole lot of places I won't go because if I went, I'd be tempted. And not because I think I'm a bad person, and not because I think I'm a bad Christian. I know I'm human. And I know I have a flesh. And I know where I used to be when I was away from God. And I know the places I used to go to when I was away from God. So I try, not only do I try to avoid the sin, I try to avoid the temptation that leads to the sin. So the prayer is to shield us from temptation. Whole lot of things we do, we know we ought not to be doing because we were tempted to do it. And we wouldn't have been tempted to do it if we hadn't been in the place that we shouldn't have been to begin with. Around the people that we shouldn't have been around to begin with. The Bible says in James 1:13, let no man say, when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So we know temptation does not come from God. And I've had people ask me before, and I say, no, I take them to this verse. And they say, does God ever tempt us in this sense in terms of testing us? And I said, no. No. Now, we see where trials are and things and temptations in that sense. So there's temptation to sin. And then we see other areas where temptation, it takes on a different meaning, where it deals with trials and it deals with tribulations. But in this context, God doesn't tempt you to sin. It would be like I held something out in front of one of you that I knew was your weakness. And if I put it out in front of you, I was testing you. I was trying you to get you to do it. Now, why would it be in the model prayer for us to pray to ask God to shield us from temptation, but then God would lead us into temptation? Makes no sense. No sense at all. Again, the idea here is for protection from temptation. You're asking for a shield. It's a hedge of protection. Because again, temptation in and of itself, though it is not bad in and of itself, meaning it's not sin in and of itself, it is dangerous. That cannot be overstated enough. Temptation is dangerous. When something comes to your mind and it's a temptation, you better get rid of the temptation right away. Because if you don't and you keep thinking about it and you keep meditating on it and you keep dwelling on it, chances are you're going to find yourself doing whatever it was that you were tempted to do. Because we did not avoid the temptation. And after a while, and I don't know everybody in here tonight, but I am somebody who's had addictions in my life. And I know where temptation's at with those things. I know where it's at. So I can't go where the temptation is. I cannot go around that. I cannot do it. I don't like to be around a whole bunch of drinking and stuff like that, because that used to be my life. And if I start watching it and I start thinking about it and it's always on my mind all the time because I'm always around it, then guess what? Through hanging around the temptation over and over and over and over and saturating my life with temptation to do a particular thing, guess what? I'm going to end up biting. It's just the way it is. I don't care who you are. From here, from up here to back yonder. It don't matter. You hang around temptation. And you don't flee temptation. You'll find yourself doing what you were tempted to do. And we're asking the Lord here in this model prayer to help shield us from temptation. So tonight, I encourage you to take these few thoughts tonight with you. And I encourage you to incorporate these things into your daily prayer. It is important.